10:18, Dom, I said to myself. I stepped on Quinn's burning cigar, took Beck's car keys out of his pocket, and slipped back into the hallway, walked through the kitchen. The cook followed me with her eyes. I stumbled around to the front of the house, slid into the Cadillac, fired it up, and took off west. It took me 30 minutes to get to Duffy's motel. She and Villanueva were together in his room with Teresa Justice. She wasn't Teresa Daniel anymore. She wasn't dressed like a doll anymore either. They had her in a motel robe. She had showered. She was coming around fast. She looked weak and wan, but she looked like a person, like a federal agent. She stared at me in horror. At first, I thought she was confused about who I was. She had seen me in the cellar. Maybe she thought I was one of them. But then I saw myself in the mirror on the closet door, and I saw her problem. I was wet from head to toe. I was shaking and shivering. My skin was dead white. The cut on my lip had opened and turned blue on the edges. I had fresh bruises where the waves had butted me against the rock. I had seaweed in my hair and slime on my shirt. "I fell in the sea," I said. Nobody spoke. "I'll take a shower in a minute. Did you call ATF? Duffy nodded. "They're on their way. Portland PD has already secured the warehouse. They're going to seal the coast road, too. You got out just in time." "Was I ever there?" Villanueva shook his head. "You don't exist. Certainly we never met you." "Thank you. Old school." I felt better after the shower. Looked better, too. But I had no clothes. Villanueva lent me a set of his. They were a little short and wide. I used his old raincoat to hide them. I wrapped it tight around me because I was still cold. We had pizza delivered. We were all starving. I was very thirsty from the salt water. We ate and we drank. I couldn't bite on the pizza crust. I just sucked the topping off. After an hour, Teresa Justice went to bed. She shook my hand, said good night. Very politely. She had no idea who I was. "Roofies wipe out this short-term memory," Villanueva told me. Then we talked business. Duffy was very down. She was living a nightmare. She had lost 3 agents in an illegal operation. And getting Teresa out was no kind of upside because Teresa shouldn't have been in there in the first place. "So quit," I said. "Join ATF instead. You just handed them a big result on a plate. You'll be flavor of the month." "I'm gonna retire," Villanueva said. "I'm old enough, and I've had enough."
"I can't retire," Duffy said.
In the restaurant, the night before the arrest, Dominique Cole had asked me,
"Why are you doing this?"
I wasn't sure what she meant. "Having dinner with you?"
"No. Working as an MP. You could be anything. You could be special forces, intelligence, air cavalry, armored, anything you wanted."
"So could you."
"I know. And I know why I'm doing this. I want to know why you're doing it."
It was the first time anybody had ever asked me. "Because I always wanted to be a cop. But I was predestined for the military. Family background, no choice at all. So I became a military cop."
"That's not really an answer. Why did you want to be a cop in the first place?"
I shrugged. "It's just the way I am. Cops put things right."
"What things?"
"They look after people. They make sure the little guy's okay."
"That's it? The little guy?"
I shook my head. "No, not really. I don't really care about the little guy. I just hate the big guy. I hate big, smug people who think they can get away with things."
"You produce the right results for the wrong reasons, then."
I nodded. "But I try to do the right thing. I think the reasons don't really matter. Whatever, I'd like to see the right thing done."
"Me too. I try to do the right thing. even though everybody hates us, and nobody helps us, and nobody thanks us afterward. I think doing the right thing is an end in itself. It has to be, really, doesn't it?
Did you do the right thing? I asked 10 years later. Duffy nodded.
Yes.
No doubt at all?
No.
You sure?
Totally.
So relax. That's the best you can ever hope for. Nobody helps, and nobody says thanks afterward. She was quiet for a spell.
Did you do the right thing?
No question. We left it at that. Duffy had put Teresa Justice in Elliot's old room. That left Villanueva in his, and me in Duffy's. She seemed a little awkward about what she had said before, about our lack of professionalism. I wasn't sure if she was trying to reinforce it or trying to withdraw it.
Don't panic, I said. I'm way too tired.
And this time I proved I was. Not for lack of trying. We started. She made it clear she wanted to withdraw her earlier objection. Made it clear she agreed that saying yes was better than saying no. I was very happy about that, because I liked her a lot. So we started. We got naked and got in bed together. And I remember kissing her so hard it made my mouth hurt. But that's all I remember. I fell asleep. I slept the sleep of the dead. 11 hours straight. They were all gone when I woke up. Gone to face whatever their futures held for them. I was alone in the room with a bunch of memories. It was late morning. Sunlight was coming in through the shades. Motes of dust were dancing in the air. Villanueva's spare outfit was gone from the back of the chair. There was a shopping bag there instead. It was full of cheap clothes. They looked like they would fit me very well. Susan Duffy was a good judge of sizes. There were two complete sets. One was for cold weather, one was for hot. She didn't know where I was headed, so she had catered for both possibilities. She was a very practical woman. I figured I would miss her. For a time. I dressed in the hot weather stuff, left the cold weather stuff right there in the room. I figured I could drive Beck's Cadillac out to I-95, to the Kennebunk rest area. I figured I could abandon it there. Figured I could catch a ride south without any problem. And I-95 goes to all kinds of places, all the way down to Miami.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Persuader by Lee Child. Copyright 2003 by Lee Child. Read by Dick Hill. Performance copyright 2003 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved.